الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على عبده ورسوله الأمين نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We're still discussing the chapter that deals with Adhan. And hadith number 64, we would like someone to volunteer and read it. Yes, brother.
Narrated Abi Juhayfa Wahab ibn Abdullah al-Sawai radiallahu anhu. I came to the Messenger of Allah and he was in the red leather tent. And Bilal radiallahu anhu stepped out with ablution water for him, what was left of that water. Some of them got it, whereas others could not get it. And those who got it rubbed themselves with it. Then the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam stepped out wearing a reddish mantle. And I was getting a glimpse of the whiteness of his shanks. He, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, performed the ablution and Bilal pronounced the azan. And I followed his mouth as he turned this side and that as he said, turning to the right and left, come to prayer, come to success. A spear was then fixed for him on the ground. He stepped forward and said two rakats of Zuhr. He continued performing two rakats till he came back to Al-Madinah.
Very well. This hadith has a number of points and lessons that can be learnt from it. Among them is that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, when he performed wudu, what did the companions do?
They used to fight for the remainder water of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasalam.
Yes, this is what they have done. They started to fight, not in the actual sense of swords, but each one wanted to take a glimpse of it. Why? To wash their faces, to wash their bodies with it. And this can only be with the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Meaning, seeking the blessings of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, because he is the mercy to all mankind. And not only that, we know that he is pure blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. So you may not seek the blessing of Allah through any living creature except through the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. His clothes, his wudu, his ablution, his hair, all of these, even his sweat, was considered to be a barakah, a blessing that you can get and attain. And this is part of our religion. However, after his death, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this all has stopped. So I cannot fool you and say this was preserved 15 centuries ago. The Prophet drank from it. So if you drink from it, it will give you healing. It will give you barakah. It will, and you end up finding people claiming in museums and in masjids that we have hair of the Prophet, alayhi salam. We have his sword, we have his cloak, we have his shoes, and all of this is baseless. You cannot verify this. Furthermore, the Prophet came out wearing a red sort of a mantle, a red cloak. But we know that wearing red in Islam for men is completely prohibited. So how is this combined? The scholars say wearing pure red is prohibited. Something that is 100% red. But if it's red with white lines, black lines, different spottings, so that it would not make it 100% red, it is permissible. And this was reported that the Prophet used to wear such a cloak, alayhi salatu wasalam, that had lines of white, though it was red. And scholars said that this is permissible. And this is what Shaykh al-Islam ibn al-Qayyim, may Allah have mercy on his soul, in his great book, Zad al-Ma'ad. Zad al-Ma'ad is one of the greatest books compiled on such topics. Every Muslim home should have a copy of it. And I believe it's translated into English. It's a great book that has immense amount of knowledge in a very delicate and very easy way. So if you read it, probably will take you about 4 to 6 months. But I assure you, after reading it, you will find that your knowledge has increased tremendously. And it's in a very nice way of showing you the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ in a number of different aspects. Then Abu Juhayfa says that the Prophet ﷺ, after performing wudu, he instructed Bilal to make the adhan. And this is why we got this hadith. How did Bilal offer the adhan? Abu Juhayfa says, I used to follow his mouth when he moved right and left, calling for Hayya ala salat, Hayya ala al-falah. And scholars say that this is part of the sunnah when giving the adhan if you are in the open. If you are in the open area, outdoors. Part of the sunnah of the adhan to put your fingers in your ears. Why? If I put my fingers in my ears, I would not hear myself. Therefore, I would extremely shout it out. However, scholars say that these two sunnahs, because Bilal had done them in the presence of the Prophet ﷺ, so they considered them to be a sunnah because the Prophet approved it ﷺ. However, scholars say, what is the reason behind putting the fingers in the ears when calling for the adhan and turning right and left when saying Hayya ala salati, Hayya ala falah? They all agree that the reason is to increase the voice, to make it louder, and to have the outreach more. Because if I'm calling the adhan to this area in the open, it will only reach a certain spectrum. But if I move 90 degrees, in 90 degrees, the area would be wider. However, scholars say, if you're calling the adhan in the masjid in front of a microphone, do I turn right and left? Some say, yes, you do, because it's part of the sunnah. And others say, no, you don't, definitely. Because the reason you are turning right and left would be a reason for the voice not to reach people. If I'm calling for the adhan in front of the microphone and my voice is loud, the minute I say Hayya ala salat, it's gone, because it's not in the direction of the microphone, so people would not listen to it. So it has a reverse result, and that is why scholars say when you're giving the adhan in front of a microphone, you should direct your face straight to the microphone and not turn right or left. And also, one of the lessons was that the Prophet used to pray alayhi salatu wasalam to a screen. What was the screen here? The goat? Was it the anza or the anaza? You remember we spoke before and we said that in Arabic they all are written the same. Anza, which means a goat, and anaza, which means a short spear. So this is the one that was put in front of him to pray sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when you do this, when the imam is praying to a screen and we as the congregation praying behind him, anyone can pass in front of us. Why? Because this would not affect our prayer. Our prayer would be affected if someone passes in front of the imam. So therefore, in big masjids, for example, or in prayer halls, or in the haram, during the mandatory prayer, when the people are praying behind the imam, you find people walking between the rows in front of the worshippers. No problem, because this was done at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, and you have no problem in doing that, none whatsoever. And finally, we learned that the Prophet ﷺ used to pray two rak'ahs, meaning shortening prayers, until he came back to Medina. So those who travel, they do not have a specific time for shortening the prayer. As long as they're traveling, a week, two, three, four, as long as they're considered to be traveling, they shorten the prayer. Four rak'ahs, they pray them into two. Three rak'ahs, they pray them into three, unchanged. One would say, maybe a rak'ah and a half. And the two rak'ahs also remain unchanged. So the only shortening is when you pray the four into two. Okay. So, I believe we have a break. Stay tuned and inshallah, we'll be right back.